Sacred Composition of Sri Guru Amar Das Ji Maharaj from Adi Granth, Rag Gauri. O brother, observe the law of this age. Enlightenment is attained through a perfect master. In this life and the life hereafter, the Lord's name is your only friend.
इस जग का धर्म पढ़ो तुम पाई पूरे गुर सब सोझी पाई आयते अगे हर नाम सुखाई ऐतागे हर नाम सुखाई
ए तीसरी पातशाही श्री गुरु अमरदास जी महाराज की बाणी है। आप गुरु नानक साहब के घर के उपदेश के मतलब बड़ी अच्छी तरह खोल खोल के समझा रहे हैं। आप फरमाते
दिस सेक्रेट कंपोजिशन इज फ्रॉम द बाणी ऑफ गुरु अमरदास जी महाराज द थर्ड गुरु इन द लाइन ऑफ गुरु नानक। इन इट ही एक्सपांड्स विद ग्रेट क्लैरिटी द एसेंस ऑफ द गुरुज टीचिंग्स। He explains that there are four ages which follow one another in a cycle. They are called Satyug, Treta-yug, Dwapa-yug, and Kali-yug. Each age has characteristics which are peculiar to that time alone. And because of this, the methods or techniques which worked in the age of Satyug do not achieve results in the age of Kali-yug. In Satyug, people lived very long lives, their minds were hardly scattered into the physical creation, and they enjoyed excellent health. With the transition from one age to the next, the average lifespan has shortened, man's mind has become more and more diffused, and his state of health has generally deteriorated. Now, in the age of Kali-yug, we can see for ourselves how someone who reaches the age of 65 or 70 years is considered fortunate. We are all aware of the prevailing conditions of physical health, how it is difficult to maintain one position for even an hour in satsang. As for our minds, we only have to attend to a small problem which demands a minute or two of our full attention, and all the problems of the world crowd before our eyes. This is why Guru Amar Das explains to us that methods which worked in Satyug are no longer applicable in Kali-yug. But we need to know which spiritual practice, what technique, will be effective now if we are to succeed in escaping from the painful cycle of birth and death. It is the masters, they who are devoted to the Lord and beloved of Him, who can show us the way. It is they who can show us how to worship the Lord and find union with Him. They explain to us, In this life and the life hereafter, the Lord's name is your only friend. If we wish to spend even the smallest portion of our lives in peace and happiness while we are in the body, if we wish to return to the Lord and meet Him, then there is only one way, and that is to practice the worship of His holy word, the worship of His holy name. Apart from this method, there is no other way or means. Guru Sahib informs us elsewhere in his writings. So many actions have I tried. Whatever I did resulted in further entanglement. Seeds sown out of season do not germinate. One forfeits even one's capital. Supreme in Kali-yug is the method of the divine music. It can be heard by the Guru's grace through contemplation. Guru Amar Das says that whatever religious practices we perform according to the understanding of our minds and intellects will all be fruitless. In order to gain salvation, we undertake all sorts of different methods and techniques. He says that whether they be forms of prayers or penances, ceremonies or readings, charities or good deeds, pilgrimages or any other such activities, irrespective of what they be, they all serve to strengthen the bonds by which we are tied to the creation, rather than finding a release from them. This is because seeds sown out of season do not germinate. If you plant seeds in the wrong season, you will never carry home a harvest. Everyone who cultivates land in North India knows that wheat is sown in October or November. If we sow it in the heat of May or June, it will make no difference how much we plough the land, apply manure, care for the crop and water it. There will never be a harvest. Guru Sahib further specifies, supreme in Kali Yuga is the method of the divine music. It can be heard by the Guru's grace through contemplation. If there is one thing which saints have freely revealed and praised in Kali Yuga, it is the divine music. Guru Amar Das is referring to the Shabad, to God's holy word, and it is this divine music which the perfect masters hear within themselves with rapt attention. This is why Swamiji says, in Kali Yuga, ritualistic practices are not required. Without God's name, there is no salvation. We may try whatever methods we like and consider every possible means to salvation. We may give whatever we want in charity, go on endless pilgrimages, perform ablutions or read books, scriptures and ancient teachings. We may choose to pierce our ears, grow matted hair, smear ash on our bodies, pay obeisance before the tombs of past saints, or renounce our children, homes and families and retreat to the forests and mountains. We may try any and all of these methods, and many more according to our religious backgrounds. But apart from the worship of God's word, the practice of his holy name, there is absolutely no way under any circumstances to escape from the fetters of the body. The fifth guru, Guru Arjun Dev, instructs us, brothers, keep the company of saints and cherish the true name, for it alone is the gift which stays with you in this life and in the life hereafter. He says we must go to a true saint, a true enlightened being. We must go to a perfect master and devote ourselves to the practice of the true word, the true holy name. This, he says, is our real treasure, our real capital. It is here with us in this world, and it will be with us in the worlds to come. Such a treasure cannot be stolen by any thief. It cannot catch fire, and no one can take it from us. Swamiji says, cherish the Guru's word as you proceed through life, since it is the only treasure worth securing. He states that if there is one thing in the world we can make our own and take with us from this life, it is our earnings from the practice of the word, the practice of the audible life stream. Guru Nanak says, accepting Naam, you have no friend or companion. You will attain salvation through the practice of Naam. He advises us to establish this fact deep within our hearts, that apart from the treasure of Naam, absolutely nothing will go with us when we die. Liberation will only be gained through the practice of the Shabad, the practice of Naam. Guru Amar Das explains, O brethren, when you find a perfect master, he will teach you the true way to practice Naam. When we meet a saint, a perfect master, a devotee of the Lord, he will be the one to show us the correct way, the real method for the practice of God's name, and only then will we be able to devote ourselves to his worship. Moreover, he explains to us, no worship succeeds but that of Naam. All mankind is lost in a maze of illusion. We must always be clear that there is no such thing as true devotion and true worship of the Lord without the practice of God's holy name. We run from one form of worship to another because we are deceived by appearances and trapped in illusions, but they serve no purpose. Guru Nanak warns us, by forsaking Naam and treading another path, you will be filled with regret at the time of death. If we abandon the method of listening to the word, no matter which path we follow, finally, at the time of death, we will be filled with remorse. This is because, without the holy name, no one gains admittance at the royal gate. Such people are dishonored by the messengers of death. One cannot reach the Lord's home without the practice of listening to the sound current. If one does not apply oneself to this, then one will suffer at death's hands. Guru Nanak says, there is no worship comparable to that of God's name. I have myself tested every approach. He affirms that he is not just speaking from hearsay, not just quoting from books. He is categorically stating from his own experience that no form of spiritual practice can compare to the meditation of God's name, the Holy Word. All other methods fall short of the truth. The practice of the true word surpasses all. He says that whatever fruits we reap from all the different kinds of religious practices, the many forms of worship, will always be inferior to those derived from the practice of the word. The very highest reward, the purest reward of all, comes from the worship of the name, the practice of listening to the word. O Nanak, never forget the holy name. Liberation is gained through practice of the word. We must try not to forget that true name of God even in our dreams, because it is only through listening to it that we will be released from the shackles of the body. Swamiji also teaches, the Guru speaks out in clear terms, O brother, attach yourself to the unstruck music. There is no way other than through the Shabad to break out from the earthen vessel of the body. He says that we must understand and always remember that until we practice the worship of the audible life stream, we will never be free. He also says, engage yourself in the practice of uniting the soul with Shabad. Now cast all other efforts aside. We must apply ourselves only to the worship of the audible life stream. There is no need to search for any other solutions, no need even to consider other methods. Kabir explains this further. When Naam is firmly enshrined in our hearts, then all sins are destroyed, just as the smallest spark of fire consumes old dry grass. We may collect lots of straw and make it into an enormous stack, but it only takes one small spark to set fire to it and reduce the whole thing to ash. By living enmeshed in the world, we have all committed countless sinful actions in past lives, and yet, just as the spark destroys the straw, so the practice of the word destroys the whole great backlog of karmas which retains us in the creation. Guru Arjan Dev says that in the time of Kali Yuga, if any saint publicly proclaims his teaching, it will be of the name only, of the audible life stream. Now is the age of Kali Yuga. Sow the seed of Naam alone. Sow only the seed of Naam. In this age, saints openly propagate the teachings of the word, the audible life stream, God's holy name. The word which they praise is no ordinary spoken word. It is a power, the very power which created the whole world. It is the foundation upon which stands all the divisions of the universe and the spiritual regions. It is the power which has given birth to all mankind, and of which Guru Amar Das says, the whole creation emanated from the name. Without the Satguru, the name cannot be attained. We need only to think about it, to realize that a power which has given rise to the whole creation, which has created everything, cannot be communicated through any written word, through speech or reading. How can we trace its history? And who can determine the duration of its existence or its place in time? In contrast, the words which, in our love, we have used as names for the Lord, such as Allah, Waheguru, Parameshwar, Radhaswami, and so many others, can all be spoken, written, and read. We can indeed trace their history, establish the period of their usage and their place in time. Where can we find that holy word which has made the entire creation? It is within our bodies, within us, within the human frame. Guru Amar Das says, "He who searches outside his body will not find God's name. Instead, he will suffer the fate of bonded labor." People who search for something as precious as Nam outside themselves, in the creation, are like bonded laborers who earn nothing for themselves and waste their valuable time. Who are these bonded laborers? They are the people who break their backs working, who transform their very blood into sweat, and virtually kill themselves through effort, yet in the end poor things go empty-handed. If there is something inside one's home, and one starts searching for it outside, in the fields and on the roads, how will one ever find it? How, we may ask, can we find this precious thing within the body? Guru Amar Das further says, "In this body is a multitude of precious things, but one sees them only when one meets a true guru." This body of ours is not just a clay effigy some 5 or 6 feet long. It is not just a mass of flesh, blood, and bones. The Lord has stored a multitude of things within it, to the extent that He Himself lives there. He has also kept the way, or path, to reach Him within us. But we comprehend and realize this truth only when we meet a true master. He says, "One sees them only when one meets a true guru." And what do the masters explain to us? By closing the 9 doors, one finds liberation at the 10th. There ever resonates the unstruck melody of the word. They say that sensual pleasures, negative tendencies, and the indulgences of the palate all lie below the eye center, the point which is between and behind the eyes, and is referred to as the 10th door. Anyone who wants to enter a house must first find the door, and once it is open, he or she may enter. This point between the eyes is the entrance to our real home. Guru Amar Das tells us how we can recognize it. There ever resonates the unstruck melody of the word. It is here at the eye center, the 10th door, that the audible live stream may be heard within everyone. We use the word resonates because within the word there is a call, there is audible sound, and this is why it is referred to as the pure celestial sound. Moreover, within the word there is light and brilliance. Guru Ram Das says, "The flame of God's name is latent in everyone and can be revealed through the Guru's wisdom." He is describing the light which emanates from the name of the Lord and glows in all of us at the eye center. Although it is shining within us, we are unable to see this light until we travel along the path which is shown to us by the saints, until we lead our lives according to their teachings. It is the saints who instruct us. The 9 doors, all the 9 are insipid. The divine ambrosia flows from the 10th. They clarify that while all the negative tendencies of the mind are to be found below the eye center, we will find the nectar of God's word only when we reach the point between the eyes. This nectar is the true elixir, and by drinking it our minds become pure and unblemished. Until we are fully concentrated at the eye center, the point from which the nectar constantly flows, there is no way we can experience it, and it is only then that we will become immortal, that we will be released from the pain of the endless cycle of birth and death. This is why the gurus praise the true word, the elixir of God's name, the audible life stream. This holy word is present in everyone, in thieves, robbers, holy men, saints, and enlightened beings alike. And the question of caste, race, or religion does not arise. Any Hindu, Sikh, or Christian who goes within himself, who is blessed with a great good fortune to be able to focus and concentrate his attention at the eye center, will start to hear its reverberating sound and will begin to see its light and brilliance. It is with the help of the sound that we establish the direction of our home, and the light guides us on our spiritual journey. And then, going from stage to stage, we finally reach our true home. It is this reality which the Gurus have tried to describe as the true word, the true holy name. Repeat the name and let the mind dwell upon it. With the grace of the Guru, all impurities are cleansed. Guru Amar Das explains that because our minds are ensnared in the web of illusion, they have become impure in the extreme. They have accumulated filth beyond measure. Although our souls are particles of the Supreme Lord, drops of the ocean of Satnam, they have separated from the Lord, and by coming into the creation, they have taken the company of the mind. The mind craves the satisfaction of the senses, and because the soul is attached to it, the soul has to undergo the effects of all actions executed at the mind's behest. Ever involved in worldly attachments, trapped by our desires for sensual pleasures, we are always committing new sins and impure deeds. In this way, our minds have accumulated vast amounts of filth and dross. Thus, Guru Sahib explains that it is the mind, with all its accumulated dross, which is the powerful obstacle standing between us and the Lord. Until this dross is removed, the soul will never be able to return to the Supreme Lord, in spite of it being a particle of Him. And this will only happen when the mind reaches its own source, the region of Brahm, the region of Trikuti. We try to cleanse and purify our minds through innumerable techniques and different practices, each according to the limited understanding of our own intelligence. All religious customs and observances are performed with this intention, and through disciplinary methods we try forcibly to withdraw our attention from the world. We make some progress, and then we find that our minds are not attached to anything, and they start to react, to rebound into the world. Guru Amar Das maintains that it is not possible to purify and cleanse the mind by force or discipline, however hard we may try. The only way we can cleanse it is through the grace of the Guru, by following the teachings which have been given to us by the Masters. When we speak of the grace of the Master, we mean the way, the method, which is explained to us by him at initiation. We may call it the gift of the name, or the gift of initiation, or we may call it the grace of the Master. It is one and the same thing, because the grace of the Master is always his gift of God's name, and both are given freely and lovingly. When the Master reveals the technique for the practice of the name, then this is his highest grace. And when he bestows initiation upon us, when he gives us the gift of God's name, it is his greatest gift. It is only when we attend to the practice of the name, when we start listening to the audible life stream, that our minds become pure. This is why Guru Ram Das affirms, "The living Master is the pool of nectar. One with great good fortune bathes therein. There the dross of countless lives is cleansed by repeating God's pure name." When we come into the company of a living Master, it is like bathing in a pool of nectar, the pool where the crow immerses itself and emerges pure and white like a swan. There is no such place in the physical world where a crow can literally be transformed into a swan. This is the pool within us, where lovers of the creation are transformed into lovers of the Lord. It is the satsang of the living Masters, the devotees of the Lord. It is their company. It is being with them in their presence. And who are eligible to bathe in such a pool? Guru Sahib says, "It is those with great good fortune, those beings with great destinies, who do not care for the taunts of public opinion or for criticism and slander. And what advantage do they gain from such a bath? The accumulated dirt of countless lives is washed away and cleansed. This dirt which clings to our minds and has accumulated over so many lifetimes is the dirt of the stored karmas, the sinchit karmas of previous lives, the very great backlog of karmas. It is in order to settle the accounts of these karmas that we attend to the practice of God's name, that we listen to His word. We go through our fate karmas, our prolabdha karmas, in this life, in this very body. Whether we go through them laughing or crying, one way or the other we have to undergo them. By the Master's grace, in future, we will avoid committing sinful and impure deeds which create the necessity to come back into the shackles of the body. But the karmas which have accumulated since time immemorial can only be destroyed by the one method of listening to the word. Guru Ram Das says, "There the dross of countless lives is cleansed by repeating God's pure name." When all the dirt has been removed from the mind by the practice of the word, the soul is revealed in its purity, in its immaculate condition. Guru Amar Das says, "O brother, the mind becomes pure when it merges in the word. This alone is the true worship of God." Once we keep our attention absorbed in the sound current at all times, whether standing, sitting, walking or traveling, once we are concentrated and lost in the audible life stream, our minds become clean, pure and without blemish. Guru Amar Das says that this is the true worship of the Lord, and such devotion will enable us to reach our destination and achieve our goal. He explains that in spite of being already clothed in soiled and dirty robes, the mind continues to cover itself with more and more layers of dirt. It is the practice of the word which unties the knot between the soul and the mind, which cleanses and purifies the mind, and which reveals the soul in its purity. Thus, it is only at the point in time when we come before a perfect master and engage ourselves in the practice of God's name, that all the dirt can be removed, and both mind and soul can return to their respective homes. Debates and quarrels do not lead to the Lord. The mind and body live the insipid life of duality. Guru Amar Das says that our minds can never be cleansed through theological debate, argument, or reading, and nor will they ever become pure through such means. He says that our bodies too cannot be cleansed through these methods. As long as the mind continues to use the medium of the body to satisfy its craving for sensual pleasures and to indulge its negative tendencies, its attachment to family, and its involvement with social, religious, and national disputes, the body will remain soiled, dirty, and impure. If one wants to purify both mind and body, it can only be done by the practice of the word, the practice of God's name, and not through any intellectual practices. Guru Nanak says, "If one reads year after year, if one reads month upon month, if one reads for a lifetime, breath upon breath, Nanak, only one thing is of value. All else is fruitless activity, like sifting sand." He says that we may read for our entire life, night and day, with every breath, but only one thing will be written into our account, and that is whether our souls are attached to the word of God, whether we can hear the audible live stream. If this is not achieved during our lifetime, then all our reading will be in vain. Guru Amar Das says, "The learned man reads and teaches others, blind to the fires which burn his own home. Exhausted by reading, he gains no peace. Only by service of the Guru can one attain the word." Scholars and priests do indeed read the scriptures and try to explain them to the common man. But what they do not realize is that the homes of their own bodies are burning with the flames of the five passions of lust, anger, greed, attachment, and ego. Even if they are aware of such fires, they do not give a thought to extinguishing them. He then observes, "Exhausted by reading, he gains no peace." Even if we exhaust ourselves by reading, if we read until we reduce ourselves to dust, we will never gain peace of mind until we go to the feet of a master and practice listening to the word, the meditation of the name. All religious books and scriptures are the written records of sages and seers, of gurus, saints and holy men, of enlightened beings, devotees and lovers of the Lord, and of divine incarnations. They are the writings of people who, in their lifetimes, put in great effort to live absorbed in the worship of the Lord, to live in union with God. They wrote their books in order to record whatever visions they had in their spiritual journeys, and to describe the difficulties which they encountered on the way, the solutions they discovered, and the methods they used to remove the various obstacles. All our holy books are records of spiritual experiences. By reading them, we get to know what others have gone through, but we ourselves do not experience anything. We will gain advantage from such books if we read them attentively, and by acting on the advice they contain, are able to remove the impediments and obstacles on our own spiritual path and have our own spiritual experiences. If someone wants to go and see the Valley of Kashmir, he will first read a guidebook about the area. By reading it, he himself will not experience the beauty of the Kashmir Valley, although he may develop a desire to see it. He will acquire all manner of information about Kashmir and will find out how to get there. He will learn of any difficult terrain or passes and how to cope with such impediments. But until he himself crosses the valleys and passes according to the information he has read, he will never reach Srinagar and see the beauty of the valley. People get lost in trivial details, and they start to think that by the reading and recitation of scriptures they will gain salvation. Sometimes they themselves do not even have the time to sit and read, nor to sit and listen. Instead, they make the priests sit reading on their behalf, while they are out in the world enjoying themselves, thinking that such reading absolves them of their sins. Reading is of benefit only when we ourselves read, listen, and absorb the words of the saints. It is of benefit if it makes us aware of our weaknesses and shortcomings and makes us sincerely want to remove them and then shows us the true way. Through services and ceremonies, we have ritualized the reading of the scriptures to such an extent that we think that salvation will come automatically so long as we go on reading and attending to the liturgy or the written word. Guru Amar Das is not opposed to reading, but he is opposed to all ritualistic attitudes. If one takes up a medical book and goes on reading the whole day, one's body will never be healed. But if medicines are obtained and taken according to the doctor's advice contained in the book, then the disease will be cured automatically. No one ever made a journey by merely reading a train timetable. But if one acts on the information contained in the timetable, buys a ticket, and sits on the train, the journey takes place of itself. Moreover, if we get into the habit of arguing, debating, and theological discussions, we will soon start to think of ourselves as learned people and scholars, and think of others as inferior. Bhule Shah says, "Gather no more knowledge, O friend. All that you need to know is the word. Much knowledge was acquired by Satan. His hearth and home were burnt to ashes." Ravan, too, was a great commentator. And yet, where did his intellect get him? This is why saints emphasize in their teachings that salvation does not lie in reading and intellectual pursuits, but in putting into practice what we read. Through the Guru's word, one is immersed in the truth. Our bodies will be purified when we practice the method as explained to us by the saints, by the lovers of the Lord, when we use the techniques of repetition and contemplation to withdraw our soul currents from the nine apertures of the body, and we focus our attention at the eye center. The mind becomes pure when we attach ourselves to the holy word within, because it then ceases to have a downward tendency towards the sensual pleasures and returns to its source, to Brahm, to Trikuti. Guru Amar Das explains that once we follow the teachings of the masters, both body and mind become pure, and that false and unreal love and attachment for a false and unreal world leave us, and true love for the true Lord is awakened within us. He says, "And through the Guru's word, he enters into true communion with the Lord." It is the mind which is enslaved by its cravings and desires, and as long as it does not find something superior to the attachments and love of the world, it will never be ready to relinquish them. What is superior to them? What can engender such love and bliss that it makes the mind abandon its love and attachments for the world? Guru Ram Das declares, "The mind is satiated when it finds the holy name. Cursed is the life without the name." The mind, captivated by its own weaknesses, runs to and fro like a deer, restless and uneasy. Once it tastes the nectar of Naam, once it tastes the elixir of God's name, it becomes peaceful and tranquil. He affirms, the name of God is sweet like nectar. The word is likened to nectar because its taste is indescribably sweet. We call it sweet when we compare it with all the other things which we enjoy in life, such as the love of family and children, our involvement with political, social, and religious activities, eating and drinking, and even fighting and violence. All such pleasures appear insipid by comparison with the word. Those who find jewels and precious stones do not go from door to door in search of trinkets. Young girls play with their dolls and scraps of cloth only until they get married. Thus it is our attachment to the word, to God's name, which starts to detach us forever from this world. Guru Amar Das explains, the Guru's word is sweet beyond measure. Without tasting it, it cannot be relished. The word is called indescribably sweet because there is nothing in the world to which it can be compared. It can only be known by tasting it, not by talking about it. And this is why Guru Sahib says that it is only by experiencing the word that love for the Lord is born within us. This whole creation is stained by egotism. Ritual baths and pilgrimages do not rid us of ego. Without meeting the Guru, we are dishonored by death. In this stanza, Guru Amar Das explains that everyone in the world is enmeshed in the web of Maya and is slumbering in the sweet sleep of his or her attachments. No one knows the Lord, no one even thinks about him. All are asleep, entranced by their involvement with the world. Guru Arjan Dev says, the whole world slumbers in illusions and attachments. Tell us, how will this deception be removed? We are all so caught up by appearances that whatever we see with our eyes we take to be real. In fact, everything we see will perish. Everything in the physical world is subject to destruction. Taking the world to be real, we become attached to it through love, and we try to own it, to make it ours. This is not possible, and so we suffer and start to cry and beat our breasts. This is why Guru Nanak says, O Nanak, terrible is the disease of the ego. Wherever I look, I see this one agony. He says that ego is the most terrible affliction. Wherever we look, we see that everyone is suffering from this one illness. All have caught the same disease. It is the disease of mine and my, of self-centeredness, of selfishness. We say, these are my offspring, this is my fortune, my house, my race, my religion, my country. In truth, all this belongs to the Lord. We try to possess everything only because we think that we are separate from him. The fact is that from the beginning of time until today, no one has owned anything in the creation, and nor will one ever own anything in the future. But the effort that is put into trying to possess everything creates love, and it is this love and attachment which drags each one of us again and again into the shackles of the body. Mixing the poison of ego, the Lord created the world. The meaning of Guru Nanak's words is that whatever is visible to us in the world has been created by the Lord through ego. If there were no ego in us, we would never be part of the creation. We would merge into the Creator. Saints tell us that we are all trapped by ego. Once we realize how entangled we are by our attachments and love for a world which is illusory, we start to try and purify our minds, and we get involved in all sorts of religious practices according to our various backgrounds. Guru Amar Das makes it clear that ritualistic actions and self-imposed rigid disciplines will never bring detachment from the world and from worldly love. We will never be free until we surrender ourselves totally to the masters, to the lovers of the Lord. By this he means that we must follow the teachings as given by the saints and attend to the meditation of the Holy Word, to the practice of the name. Guru Arjan Dev says, he has created this world from pain and pleasure. Only they who take shelter with the Sadguru are liberated. Our lives are shaped by our previous actions. They are the results of the sins and good deeds we have committed in previous lives. Even while we are undergoing them, we are continuously doing more good deeds and committing fresh sins, which will bring us back into the world again to undergo their consequences. There is only one way to escape from this cycle, and that is by taking refuge with a perfect master. Only they who take shelter with the Satguru are liberated. Guru Arjan Dev also says, by meeting the master, all sins are destroyed. He brings one into union with the Lord. When we surrender ourselves totally to the master, to the extent that we lose our identity and merge with him, then we assume his identity. It is then that our karmic chains are destroyed and we are brought into union with the Lord. Guru Sahib says, the accounts are settled of those who meet a Satguru, says Nanak. By meet a Satguru, he means when we retain no further attachments to anyone or anything in the world, and when we give ourselves entirely to him, it is only then that we are free of all karmas. Swamiji also says, take refuge, my beloved, at the feet of the Satguru. Your karmic dues will be paid. Until our karmic chains are broken, we never can meet the Lord, regardless of what those karmas may be. And since this will only happen when we take refuge with a perfect master, it is imperative for us to keep the company of such a master and follow the path which he gives in his teachings. This is why the gurus tell us repeatedly that until we do this, we will never be released from the shackles of the body. Guru Arjan Dev explains it thus. The owner of the house has locked it. He has given the key to the guru. Despite many attempts, the key cannot be obtained without surrender to the Satguru. The very same Lord who created us has kept the wealth of the word within each one of us, in trust for us. But he has kept the secret which enables us to attain it in the care of the perfect masters, the lovers of the Lord. If we try to possess this key through our minds and intellects, we will never succeed. We will only find it when we leave the path of the mind and seek refuge at the feet of the Master, when we surrender ourselves to him and follow his path. He alone is true who destroys his ego. By the word of the Guru, he defeats the five passions. A person becomes true when he is able to rid himself of the disease of his ego. Then he is released from the cycle of birth and death, and from the enmity of the five robbers, that is, the five passions. In this stanza, Guru Amar Das explains that there is only one cure for this disease, and that is the practice of the word, the practice of the name. Guru Angad also says, ego is a chronic disease, but its remedy too is within. When the Lord showers his grace, he makes one practice his word. The disease of ego has been prevalent in human beings since the beginning of time, but the Lord has kept the cure too within everyone. It is when he showers his grace and mercy and attaches our attention to God's name that we are rid of this affliction. This is why Guru Amar Das says emphatically, but who can kill the ego without the Lord's word? Although one may appear to have renounced the world, how can one be free of ego and worldly love until one experiences the elixir of the word, until one relishes the sweetness of God's name? Mixing the poison of ego, the Lord created the world. When the word of God takes hold of you, this poison then goes. It is precisely because of ego that we are able to remain part of this creation. When the word of God takes hold of you, this poison then goes. The day that the sound of the word is audible within us, all the poison of ego will leave us. It is only our meditation on God's name, on his word, that can cure us of this affliction of self-centeredness, of me and mine, and of our attachments and love for this illusory creation. He saves himself, and he saves all with him. Those who succeed in removing the obstacle of egocentricity from within themselves through the practice of listening to the audible life stream are able to traverse the fearful ocean of phenomena. If we keep the company of such beings and remain with them through our lives, then our minds also become attached to the word, and like them, we too are able to cross the ocean of phenomena, the ocean of mind and matter. This is why Guru Amar Das says, if one serves the emancipated soul, one also becomes emancipated. One is freed of ego and attachment through the word. One who conquers ego and all attachments by listening to the audible life stream attains liberation. If we keep the company of such a person, then, like him, we too will become free. One who immerses himself wholly in God's word himself becomes pure. If we keep his company, then like him, we too will become pure. He says, they who merge with the word become pure beings and truth realized. The magician conjures up his show of illusions and attachments. The lovers of the world keep clinging blindly to it. The detached lovers of the Lord remain immersed in him. Guru Amar Das warns us that when we see the apparent happiness of the world, and we see people going about eating, drinking, and enjoying themselves, we must not think that this world is a happy place, a most wonderful place which is fit to be our home. Guru Sahib says that it has no reality whatsoever. In this world there is nothing but sorrow and problems. Everyone will perish, and everything will be destroyed. The magician comes and conjures up his play. Once he has finished and gone away, then nothing remains. We have all seen puppet shows, how the puppeteer takes all the puppets out of a bag and puts them on the table, while he sits behind a curtain and pulls the strings to make them dance. Worldly people, the lovers of the creation, are like puppets who think that they themselves are dancing. In their self-centeredness, they question who, apart from themselves, could be responsible for their actions. But the lovers of the Lord are like puppets who know that the one who makes them dance is hidden behind the curtain. They know that the Supreme Lord is the choreographer of the dance, and that we merely perform the steps according to his wish. This, then, is the difference between a worldly man and one who is a lover of the Lord. Both have been created by the one Supreme Lord, and it is even in his hands as to whom he will want to call to be his lover. But who is it who will receive glory? It is only the lovers of the Lord. And this is why Guru Amar Das warns that when we see the happiness of the world, we should not be misguided and deluded into thinking that there is any reality in it. Swamiji also says, both body and home are unreal. So why feel distressed over an illusion? He explains that we are uselessly caught up in delusion, and there is no reality in the things we see. Guru Amar Das explains, apart from the Lord, O brother, everything is impure. He says that apart from the Lord, everything is impure, everything is false, because it is all transient. Like dreams which last a few minutes, this dream of our life may last about 50 to 70 years. Neither the dreams nor the creation are real. Saints warn us that we must not start to love this game of life, taking it to be real. If we go to see a film which lasts for about 1.5 hours, and we know that it is just a short-lived illusion, then we don't get involved. We don't really experience pain or happiness. If we allow ourselves to think it is real, then everything about it appears to be real, and we start to laugh and cry because we feel that it is actually part of our lives. But if we know, if we remind ourselves that nothing of it will be there in a matter of a few hours, then we don't feel any pain or happiness. Saints lovingly explain that in a similar way, this world is just an illusion created by the magician. Guru Amar Das points out the true Lord has staged his show and displayed through the creation the cycle of birth and death. The Lord is the playwright. It is he who writes the script of everybody's birth and death. He says, the Lord himself is both the doer and the cause. Everything is in his hands. It is by his will that he takes souls home, and if it is not his will, then he lets them remain a part of his play. The hypocrite assumes many different appearances. Riddled with inner desires, he parades his ego. Guru Amar Das says that the Lord himself made the whole creation, but the creation knows nothing of the Creator. He says that not only has the whole world forgotten the Creator, but in the process, it has started to take the creation to be real. Because worldly people do not know what the creation is, they start to love it and become attached to it. However, the lovers of the Lord are engaged in the worship and love of the Creator, and by keeping their attention fixed in God's holy word, they are not sullied by the dirt of this world, despite living in it. Guru Nanak explains, just as the lotus lives detached in water, and the duck swims on the surface of the stream, attached to the word, the soul crosses the ocean of phenomena through the practice of the name, O Nanak. Like the duck which lives on water and yet flies away with dry wings, and the lotus flower which remains above the surface of the water, although its roots live in the mud beneath, so we too can cross the fearful ocean of the creation once our souls are connected to God's word. While living in the world, we must not allow the dirt of the creation to cling to us, to affect us. Guru Amar Das reminds us that everything we see in the world is perishable. He questions whether any benefit is derived from the practice of asceticism, renunciation, and the wearing of special robes to denote a religious office or status, since wishes and desires remain suppressed in the mind in spite of such practices. Man's basic needs are the same wherever he goes, and these are food for the stomach, clothing to cover the body, and a roof over his head. Do we think that by going to remote places or by living as hermits, we do not need food, clothing, and shelter? In fact, by renunciation, we abandon the responsibility of earning an honest livelihood. We cease to eat food which is made in our homes, and we stretch out our hands to beg from the world in order to satisfy our hunger. By discarding our normal clothing and wearing robes of specific colors, we are not able to manage without clothes. We must still cover our bodies. We leave the comfort and peace of our homes and look for a place of retreat, such as a temple or monastery, or we build a small shelter for ourselves, or live in a cave. But the truth is, we still need a roof over our heads. So actually, what is it that we have given up? In fact, we have achieved the opposite. We have made ourselves dependent on others for our basic needs. Thus, saints say that we do not need to adopt a life of renunciation in order to achieve salvation. We must live in the world like brave and valiant soldiers, not allowing ourselves to be affected by its dirt. Not knowing the self, he loses the game. How beautifully Guru Amar Das teaches. He says that if we do not realize our true identity, we lose the game which we were on the point of winning. To which game is he referring? After great difficulty, we have been blessed by the Lord with a human life, with a human body. And who knows whether we will ever again be granted such an opportunity? We may be born in a place where, even by accident, we will not be able to think of the Lord. And now, in this life, the Lord has given us everything. This is why the Gurus say that we must realize our true nature now, while we are in the human form. Pure is he who has realized himself. He, the source of all joy, merges with him. Guru Amar Das says that one who is capable of knowing himself has become absolutely pure. And when do we become capable of knowing our true selves? Only when we transcend the realm of mind and maya, the realm of delusion, and when the knot which ties the soul to the mind is untied and all the soiled coverings of the soul have been removed. He who knows the taste of the word knows his true self. A person who has started to enjoy the bliss of the sound current becomes capable of knowing himself. Guru Amar Das says, they who hear the word within realize themselves. They alone attain the truth. It is only the masters, the self-realized beings who have joined themselves to the word within, who possess the real vehicle, the true vessel which can transport them to union with God. Then the mind enters the state of deep meditation. The soul's flame merges with the all-pervading light. When the mind returns to its source, to Brahm, to Trikuti, the soul merges its light with the light of the word, the creative power. The Supreme Lord has bestowed the gift of the human form upon us for this very purpose, so that the soul may realize its true nature and it may also realize the Lord. Instead of this, we throw our lives away for a song. We waste them in eating and drinking, and we spoil them through our involvement with social, religious, and national disputes and other worldly activities. By donning different robes, he cleverly deceives. Lured by attachments and delusion, he is lost in doubt. Without service to the Guru, he suffers most terribly. He says that until such time as we follow the teachings given to us by the masters and practice the meditation of God's holy word, we will remain empty-handed and will continue to suffer pain. We may try every conceivable means to achieve peace and happiness, but we will always remain empty-handed. Whatever we are to gain will come only through the worship of the word, the worship of the audible life stream. There is an Indian proverb, "The elephant's footprint covers those of all other creatures." All benefits derived from the many forms of religious practices are contained within the one great benefit derived from the worship of the word. How can there be a repetitive prayer or litany better than when our tongue is engaged day and night in Simran, in the repetition of God's name? How can there be any spiritual work higher than when we live day and night in the will, in the command of the Lord? What greater form of worship can there be than when we go through all 24 hours of the day carrying the Lord's image within us? And what greater form of recitation can there be than listening to the sound current reverberating within us through day and night? What greater detachment can there be than when our minds lose all interest in the world and become indifferent to it after tasting the sweet elixir of the name? This is why Guru Amar Das again and again brings us back to the point that whatever we are to receive, O brother, will only be through the practice of Nam, through the practice of God's word. Those died in God's name are forever detached. While living in the home, they are absorbed in the truth. Says Nanak, most fortunate are they who serve the true master. In this final stanza, Guru Amar Das explains once again that there is no need to leave our homes and families and hide in secluded places. He says we must live a family life. We must live in the world while applying ourselves to the practice of the word, the audible life stream. And this is the way which will lead to detachment. He says, died in God's name, one becomes pure and detached. Like a true anchorite, he is engrossed in his bliss. One who is imbued with the color of God's word is able to lead a householder's life because he is like an anchorite, a recluse in his heart. He is pure like a swan because he lives in the remembrance of God's name through all his daily activities. Call such people the true anchorites. Call them the swans of heaven. Call them lovers of the Lord, or call them the omniscient of the creation. It makes no difference. They are the ones who are attached to the love of God and detached from worldly love. This is why Guru Amar Das says we must find such a person, we must find such a master, and we must follow his teachings and worship God's word, the audible life stream. We must reap permanent benefit from the company of the master, from his physical presence in the world.